Hey, everybody, what is going on in Myanmar, which is also known as Burma? What's going on in Russia? That, and I also take your questions that you have emailed me, freedom@charliekirk.com, in this extended episode of The Charlie Kirk Show. And I do this thanks to all of you that support us monthly and even on a one-time basis at charliekirk.com/support. If this podcast has blessed you in any way, it would mean a lot if you get behind us at charliekirk.com/support. Chip in however you can to our program and our podcast at charliekirk.com/support to give us the backing so that we can hire more copy editors, so we hire more video editors. Our research team has what they need at charliekirk.com/support. We are growing unbelievably at Turning Point USA. And if you want to be part of the movement, go to tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. We go around the world, Burma, Russia. I take your questions. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Email us your questions, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Okay. I want to get to a story here that actually might be one of the first foreign policy challenges of the Biden administration. There is a country called Burma. Well, no, it's actually called Myanmar. It's a country of about 54 million people. It is positioned between Thailand. It is near China, Bangladesh, that region of the world in Southeast Asia. It is not a country that usually makes headlines. It is a primarily jungle country, meaning that it's just kind of like the Amazon. It's a very poor country relative to most of the West, and very decent people from everything that I've heard from people that have visited. It's a predominantly Buddhist country. And so they're in the news now, and this directly affects China, and it affects Joe Biden as well. This country, again, just to give you an idea of how poor this country is, the GDP of Burma is $66 billion. Elon Musk is three times wealthier than the entire GDP of Burma. Mark Zuckerberg could purchase Burma, the whole country, and all of its people, with 54 million people inside of it. So in Burma, there was a rising controversy around the last election. Myanmar, which is the technical term, but most people know it as Burma, started about a decade-long experiment in conditional democracy. And this is from a New York Times piece that I think does a pretty good job of explaining it. Someone was in charge. Her name was Miss Aung San Suu Kyi. I think that's the right way to say it. I mean, no offense if I mispronounced that. She was in charge, but the military didn't like that. And so the military launched a coup, like a legitimate coup, okay? Not a bunch of JV actors from the backwoods of North Carolina dressing like MASH with zip ties along a Viking shaman guy taking selfies when you walk in the Senate chamber. Like, no, actually a coup with tanks and military members and a legitimate coup to take back the country. And that's exactly what ended up happening. Now, to add some levity to the situation, though, this woman who is running some form of a Pilates class outside of parliament, bizarrely, with, and by the way, I thought this video was a parody, but she just decided to run a live stream Pilates class with a mask on outside of parliament, where she just happened to, and this is in Myanmar, where she just happened to start her class while the coup was happening. She caught it all on tape, and enjoy the music. I'll do my best job of narrating it. Play tape. So here's this woman just burning some calories. Oh, what do you got there? It's a coup. Like an actual coup. She has no idea what is happening behind her here. And she is just dancing. And up there goes an armored Humvee. And it's not Pilates. It's a dance routine. Whatever. And so she just continues to go on. We could play this video. It goes for about 2.5 minutes when all the cavalry comes in and they just take back the country. Zumba, is that what it is? Andrew would know. He's into that sort of thing, right? Zumba. Yeah, okay. It's Zumba. So she was doing a Zumba routine outside of the Myanmar. What is the capital of Myanmar? I don't know that. Naypyidaw. Naypyidaw? All right, something like that. Anyway. And largest city is Yangon. So she was doing a dance routine out there. We actually see the coup happen in real time. So you might say, well, Charlie, what's the significance of this? Third world, I don't care about it. Well, look, first of all, I do like to do some international news and just kind of doing around the world because I think that it's very interesting to see how different governing styles, philosophies, and ideas all kind of intersect. And all of it kind of comes back to America. But no, this is actually really significant. Because the Bombs Away Coalition, which is the Liz Cheney types and Joe Biden, which they've never found a war that they won't support, they are now going to be tested. So the way Donald Trump would have handled this is very simple and very clear, where it's if it's not in America's best interest to get involved or get engaged, we're not going to do it. We're not going to start another war. We're not going to send American military members into another engagement halfway around the world in a country that literally people have never heard of. Now, mind you, we have said many times on this show, somewhat sarcastically and somewhat lightheartedly, that Joe Biden is going to go search around the world for a country never heard of to go invade, to go justify his power. I did not have Myanmar in my bingo card. I had maybe like Yemen, Oman, Lebanon, Morocco. Myanmar is a little bit out of the area. But here's what's really interesting, though, is that that whole area – from Laos to Thailand, Vietnam, America has not been seriously involved in a military conflict there since the Vietnam War. That America has not been involved in a serious military conflict in that part of the world in quite some time. And so the Biden administration has formally determined that the military takeover in Myanmar constitutes a coup d'etat, a designation that requires the U.S. to cut its foreign assistance to the country. But that's not enough. It's actually more than that. Myanmar has a very close proximity to China. And so Myanmar, which is a country, again, of only a $66 billion GDP, the military was very upset that Aung San Suu Kyi, the woman that was running the country, was too close to the Chinese Communist Party. And so the military was taking over because they thought that Aung San Suu Kyi was growing too close with Xi Jinping. Xi Jinping from China had already built two pipelines through Myanmar. And so basically, the military was rising up and saying, we are not going to become a proxy state of the Chinese Communist Party, and has big plans for a major port and rail line. China does right through Myanmar. China going to the west does not have direct access, I believe, geographically to the Indian Ocean. They need other countries to be able to have direct access to the Indian Ocean. China, of course, does have plenty of ports of entry around the east to the Pacific Ocean, but to get to the west, to the Bay of Bengal or to the Indian Ocean, they have to go through Myanmar or Burma, which the current woman that was running the country was more than happy to do that. Biden said, quote, warned in a statement days prior, quote, the United States removed sanctions on Burma over the past decade based on progress towards democracy, already playing war games. The reversal of that progress will necessitate an immediate reversal review of our sanctions laws and authorities, followed by an appropriate action. The State Department official did not offer a timeline for potential sanctions. Officials told CNN on Monday that the administration could roll out as soon as this week, but a decision to pull the trigger would likely be impacted by a desire to move alongside allies, congressional aides. I think this is CNN that we're reading from. And I know you might say, oh, CNN. I will say one thing about CNN. They have a more sophisticated international network of reporters than almost anyone except Reuters. CNN actually, I know this might surprise you, but CNN domestically is a lot different than CNN internationally. CNN internationally actually just generally reports facts. They're still left wing and they're all this. They're not as bad as they are domestically. They're in some ways run as two different companies. Jeff Zucker does not run CNN International. So just forgive me for reading CNN. Actually, when you talk about international news, they typically get things more right than not. And same with Reuters when it goes international. And now, look, one theory is that the Chinese coronavirus lockdown is getting so much pushback over the world. So now the Great Reset interests are looking now to start another war to distract you from what might be happening domestically. And so Joe Biden has a decision to make right now. What is Joe Biden's foreign policy? Well, Joe Biden came out and said, quote, that Iran is now just weeks away from a nuclear weapon. Can we get that information there? So now the Iran, the evil people of Iran that Donald Trump rightfully held accountable, that ever firing a Tomahawk missile or endangering a United States military member, is now close to a nuclear bomb, which inevitably will mean America's going to get involved in another war fighting over sand and death. But Myanmar is very interesting, because Myanmar now has proximity to America's greatest enemy, China, and also Hunter Biden's employer. And so the question is whether or not Joe Biden will stand up to the chief bank that allegedly funds the entire Biden family crime enterprise. We are now dealing very, very close to home to Joe Biden. And will Joe Biden stand up to Xi Jinping? Well, he's already signaling he doesn't like this military takeover. Now, for the record, I'm not a big fan of military takeovers. Probably doesn't have a good track record. However, the reasoning behind it is to stand up to China, and that nuance is very, very important. We all know conservatives are getting kicked off social media. So why exactly are we choosing to give all these big tech companies all of our personal data, from your location to your search history and more? Now is the time to take a stand. Protect your personal data from big tech, Big Brother, and the masters of the universe with the VPN I trust for my protection, ExpressVPN. You see, every device, whether on your phone, laptop, or TV, has a unique string of numbers. It's called an IP address. When you search for stuff, watch videos, or even click a link, big tech companies can use that IP address to track all your activity and tie it back to you. When I use ExpressVPN, my connection gets rerouted through their secure encrypted servers, so these companies cannot see my IP address at all. My internet activity becomes anonymized, and my network data is encrypted. And the best part is you don't need to be tech savvy at all to use ExpressVPN. Just download the app on your phone or computer, tap one button, and you're protected. Protect your internet activity with the VPN I use every day. Visit expressvpn.com/charlie to get 3 extra months on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/charlie to get 3 months extra free. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Use the VPN that I trust. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. As we are kind of doing an around the world segment, the latest out of Russia, Alexei, the dissident guy from Russia, Alexei, has he been sentenced to 2.5 years? Did they even have a trial? That goes. That's Russian justice for you, right? Trial, jail. It's that simple. So, I actually encourage everyone to check this out, even in short form. I watched the entire documentary that he produced, and it was actually really, really well done. It's a hard watch, to be honest with you, because the whole thing is in Russian with English subtitles, and they're talking really fast. And so he just got sentenced to a couple of years in jail. And so do we have the cut of Vladimir Putin's home? So one of the things that he got poisoned probably by the Russian government, and then he returned home to Russia. And with it, when he returned home to Russia, he had this extensive documentary all about how Vladimir Putin, through a series of bribes, had built this insane mansion, like out of control mansion, right on the Black Sea. And it's pretty extraordinary when you actually go through it. And the documentary goes in great detail of how the Russian people have been suffering and struggling, and how Vladimir Putin, who first kind of became head of the diplomatic affairs office in St. Petersburg, used that as a way to enrich himself, get used to all the oligarchs and how they do business, and then through a series of bribes, build this absolutely extraordinary place that's basically valued at $1 billion right on the Black Sea, where there's a no-fly zone overhead, where there are secret entrances and tunnels. And this might seem like not a big deal, but what's really brewing in Russia is a people's reaction to a lot of the thug tactics of Vladimir Putin. Now, let me be very clear. I do not think that Russia is America's greatest geopolitical threat. I think Americans, especially American Democrats, obsession with Russia is really strange considering the threat that China poses. However, just to call balls and strikes, there's no love lost for the Russian ambitions. Vladimir Putin is a disciple of Leninistic Marxism. He is a Soviet at heart. And look, Russia has an aging population. They are very dependent on the petrodollar. And a lot of the sort of measures that Russia puts forward is against a lot of Western norms that we would appreciate: freedom of speech, freedom of press, freedom of dialogue. And with that, Vladimir Putin builds this extraordinary palace. I mean, I'm talking about a $1 billion palace that you'll have to see to believe. So we'll get the clips on that. But now Navalny, I think that's right. Navalny. That's the one. Navalny. Here we go. Navalny has been sentenced to 3.5 years in jail, where unfortunately he's probably going to get very abused and hurt. Now, what he is doing, though, is he is getting a lot of Russian people mobilized against the Putin power structure that has dominated Russia, which is Stalinistic type thug tactics that has really spread all throughout the country and has exploited a lot of different people. And so people say, well, Charlie, what should America's approach to Russia be? I do not think the endless saber rattling is necessary. I don't. I think we should call them out when they put, you know, activists like Navalny in prison for 3.5 years for what exactly? He was the one that got poisoned. He shouldn't be going to jail for 3.5 years. That's insane. But also this kind of pathological obsession that so many Democrats and the Bombs Away Committee of the Republican Party, that's what we call them, the Bombs Away Committee. They've never found a conflict they don't want all of a sudden send a Tomahawk missile towards. That Russia very well could be a strategic partner against China. And Russia, I don't think, is ever going to become our ally. But I don't think that it is helpful for the well-being of our country or our geopolitical interests to turn them into an unnecessary adversary, where Russia and China have been in a lot of different ways forming a partnership together against the best interests of our country and a lot of what we want to achieve. Are you guys sick of all the cancel culture? Stand with one of the fighters, Mike Lindell, right now. I want to talk to you about how MyPillow has changed so many people's lives. I know people that use MyPillow, made in America, by the way, and they say they're sleeping better, they're a better person, and it's just a game changer. For a limited time, Mike is offering his premium MyPillows for his lowest price ever. You can get a queen-size premium MyPillow for $29.98, regular $69.98, and that's $40 savings. Kings are $5 more. Not only are you getting the lowest price ever, $29.98 for a queen-size premium, but Mike is extending a 60-day money-back guarantee to March 1st, 2021. So right now, support the good guys, support the people who are trying to cancel. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square and use the promo code Kirk. You will also get deep discounts on MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets, the MyPillow mattress topper, and MyPillow towel sets. Or call 800-876-0227 and use promo code Kirk. Support Mike Lindell. He's a good American. He's fighting hard. Go to MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk. I do want to give you some good news, though, and I want to give credit where credit is due. Pink Hat Woman has been identified. That's right. Pink Hat Lady has been identified. It is a woman by the name of Rachel Powell. She was the one who gave instructions, and none other than Ronan Farrow, who discovered it. Got to admit, that guy has a lot of talent. And Forrest Green and Ronan Farrow and was able to figure this out and identify her. Rachel Powell was the woman that was shouting instructions. She gave a long interview. She claimed she was not part of the plot, organized, whatever. I have no military background. I'm a mom with 8 kids. That's it. I work and I garden and raise chickens and sell cheese at a farmer's market. She said that she was adamant that she was not going to wear a mask, and she was finally identified as Rachel Powell. My guess is that she will be getting a visit from law enforcement very, very soon. However, I don't know if I believe her. She was saying in all the footage that we have played here, and by the way, if you type in Pink Hat Lady to a Yahoo search engine, it comes up Pink Hat Lady Charlie Kirk Show. We focused more on the Pink Hat Lady, I think, than almost any other program for good reason. Because she was the one that was saying, if you want to take this building, I've been here before, go through this point of entry. And I could tell you right now that there's more to this story than she might be leading on. All right, let's get to some other tape here. Let's get to some news of the day. So we have a lot of rumblings about impeachment breaking today. President Trump has officially submitted his legal briefs. They were due today. And as expected, he is taking exception with the entire idea of a duly elected president who is a private citizen now being impeached as a private citizen. He also made the argument that his remarks are protected under the First Amendment, and he is correct. Let's go to my friend Ken Starr, cut 16.
The text of the Constitution to me is absolutely clear that judgment in cases of impeachment it runs to what? Removal and then possible disqualification. And so a former officer, by definition, can't be removed. That's the text.
Ken Starr, of course, ran the special counsel's office in the Whitewater investigation and brought impeachment proceedings to the House successfully, and it was acquitted in the Senate against President Clinton. Let's go to cut 17.
The Senate is utterly without jurisdiction to try Donald Trump, and if they proceed to do so, they will, I believe, be running afoul, at least potentially, of the Constitution's specific express prohibition against a bill of attainder. Simply put, a bill of attainder is the legislative branch imposing a punishment on a prior citizen. And that's what disqualification would be all about.
And so, in addition to that, Ken Starr continued to say that the Senate, that anyone who brings up those who want to impeach President Trump also might have to entertain that of Hillary and Obama. That is not how it works. And so Ken Starr is basically saying this impeachment is unconstitutional and dead on arrival. Let's please play cut 18. Before you do, though, Ken Starr is joining our podcast on Monday on The Charlie Kirk Show exclusively. So make sure you check out The Charlie Kirk Show podcast, which will be the week of impeachment. Play tape.
The proponents of the eternal impeachment process, which I've seen someone say, well, let's now have an impeachment of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. Excuse me. She's no longer the Secretary of State. I've seen it suggested that we now have a trial of President Obama. Excuse me. He's not the President of the United States. Ditto for Donald Trump.
And so the entire impeachment should not happen at all. But let's just get into the merits of it. Let's show how weak their argument actually is. So we have played tape of the Wall Street Journal saying that there were people that were breaking the line of the police while President Trump was still speaking. They have footage of that. But also, let's go to CNN's own clips. I was watching CNN. I was just flipping through the channels this weekend, and they have this special called, quote, Trump Insurrection. However, it's very interesting when you go through CNN's own words, they actually make the point that we made early on that came under massive mockery when I said not everyone that was there was an insurrectionist. And people said, how dare you say something like that? Well, I said there were lots of different groups of people that – I'm not talking about the people that went into the Capitol, okay? I'm talking about the people that were around there. But CNN said the exact same thing in their own special. Cut 19.
When I got to the Capitol
– you would not tell us where to spend our money.
You could tell that there were different factions and energies within the crowd.
Alexander Marquardt is there right in the middle of all of this.
There were some people who just wanted to be there and wave flags. There were other people who were much more aggressive, and those were the people who were really at the front.
Okay, let me be very clear. What he just admitted right there is the nuance that I think everyone has been looking for. So actually, I want to thank CNN for airing that. It was 23 seconds of refreshing honesty and truth that there were different factions there. Some people, what did he say? There were just some people there that wanted to wear flags and they're singing songs, okay? And then there were some people up at the front that were much more aggressive. Got it. Thank you for that nuance. Because the people up at the front that were assaulting police officers and storming the building and smashing windows and saying, if we want to take this building like the Pink Hat woman on the microphone, no defense whatsoever of those people at all. But then he says himself, there were some people there that just kind of wanted to wear flags. Now, under CNN's own rules of engagement, is their own senior war correspondent justifying? Well, he's making a factual point, the CNN correspondent. I want to play this again. It's such an important tape because he's admitting that there were different factions and groups of people. There were some people that came to the Capitol because the president told them that he was going to the Capitol, and they go to the Capitol and they just sing songs and wave flags. That's his own reporting. Play this again and listen carefully to the CNN war correspondent who says that there was a smaller group of people who were the aggressive people. And regardless of who those people were, we've gone through that some of those people were not even registered to vote. We went through that some of them were BLM incorporated people. Some of them were legitimate Trump supporters. Some of them were instigators. Some of them were pathological anti-government types. Some of them were militia people. The best way to describe it, a hot mess. That's the best way to describe it. Not saying that every single person was a Trump supporter or that every single Trump supporter participated or approved in it, which is not true at all whatsoever. Play tape.
When I got to the Capitol,
you would not tell us where to spend our money.
You could tell that there were different factions and energies within the crowd.
Alexander Marquardt is there right in the middle of all of this.
There were some people who just wanted to be there and wave flags. There were other people who were much more aggressive, and those were the people who were really at the front.
In some ways, it was a mosaic of different interests and competing motives, and it was a mess. That's the best way to explain it. As we have walked through on this program, there is more and more evidence, according to the Washington Post and their own reporting, that there was premeditation before what happened at the Capitol. People that were planting pipe bombs the night before, people that came there with the intent that have already been charged with conspiracy. If none of that existed, and every single person that penetrated the Capitol that was at the Ellipse, which is we already know is not true, and then went in there, their argument would have more validity. Instead, it is an incredibly weak argument. Their argument for impeachment of a private citizen is as follows: that a president gave a speech 2 miles away, and that based solely on his words, they walked 35 minutes and then committed a criminal act that he never endorsed, never told to happen, and never supported. That is such unbelievable balderdash, if I may use an appropriate word for radio. What really happened is that, yes, some people went from the Ellipse, not everyone, to the Capitol. Even smaller group of people of that group decided to go join some of the militants, the militia types, the agitators, the BLM people, the non-registered to vote people, just people that were there looking for a fight, into a mess to then go do whatever it is that they ended up doing. And some people that were Trump supporters participated in that. But just to say that that were the only groups of people that participated in it is not true. It's not correct. And there is more and more evidence coming out with more arrests that there were people that participated in this that were agitators. They said certain words and phrases that got people worked up. They came with walkie-talkies. They were communicating with each other. They weren't just there waving a flag and they said, you know what? Now I want to go in. There were a couple people that were like that, but that is not the totality of the story at all. And CNN's own nuance, I think, is really important, extremely important to say, where he says himself that there were different energies even at the Capitol itself, let alone different energies at the event that was 2 miles away at the Ellipse. Now, why is that nuance important? Nuance, facts, data, and evidence is all that keeps us from becoming a vengeful, guilty until proven innocent mob. That's what our justice system is supposed to be based around. The impeachment process is a parallel of our justice system. Our justice system, inspired largely from William Blackstone, said, quote, "I would rather have 10 guilty men go free than one innocent suffer." That is not the way the Democrats are thinking right now. They say, we want power. We'll make you all suffer. Here's a great question from Jill. She says, thank you for being a trustworthy source for conservative Americans. Your program answers a ton of questions I have on a daily basis. Awesome. I listen to every podcast and also recruited my college kids to listen to you as well. Thank you. You're a strong and positive light. My question, it has to do with what we can do to make a difference. This is a really good question, and I want to make sure I clarify it. I'm set to become the next Chamber of Commerce president in our small community in Oklahoma. However, I heard you make negative, almost sarcastic remarks about the way the chamber operates. I'm new to the chamber scene. I want to make sure I can do the kinds of things I can do to help my community, be a beacon of light and an example to help those chambers on a larger scale. You said over and over to get involved in your community, and that's what I'm doing. Yes, you are. Good for you. I just want to do it right. Can you explain why the chamber has such a negative reputation, and what are your thoughts on being involved in the chamber? So I want to make a distinction that I should probably make more. There's a difference between your local Chamber of Commerce and the Chamber of Commerce that runs our country. The National Chamber of Commerce is funded primarily through big corporate donors that want very specific crony corporate cutout deals. They are very much in the woke industrial complex. They favor open borders. They favor amnesty. They favor mass immigration. However, most local chamber of commerces are just fine. But my one piece of advice, Jill, when you run your local chamber of commerce, is represent the small business as much as, if not more, than you represent the big contributors to the local, to the Chamber of Commerce in your local area. For example, you might be getting money from big corporations for that big chamber. My piece of advice is do not allow those big companies to steer the policy. Always look out for the little guy, the local manufacturing shop, the local coffee shop. And what I find, though, is that the National Chamber of Commerce, you can go to their own website. I encourage you to do this, Jill, and thank you for your question. If you go to the National Chamber of Commerce website, it's filled with woke industrial complex nonsense. It's filled with open borders, immigration reform, all that stuff. And it's the Chamber of Commerce plays a very big role in contributing and steering legislation for moderate Republicans and moderate Democrats. So thank you, Jill, for that question. But your local chamber can do a lot of good for the world. Just don't take orders from the big chamber. Great question. And thank you for getting involved. Okay. Let's go to another question. Actually, let's get to some sound here that I don't think we got to. Let's see. We played Ken Starr. Let's go to Jen Psaki, cut 23. I think she said she'd circle back here. In fact, we're living rent-free in Jen Psaki's head because she's all of a sudden worried about circling back and Trump's Twitter and all this. Play cut.
Does President Biden support the continuing ban of President Trump on their sites?
I think that's a decision made by Twitter. We've certainly spoken to, and he's spoken to, the need for social media platforms to continue to take steps to reduce hate speech. But we don't have more for you on it than that.
And what's amazing is that there's no reporter that follows up immediately saying, hold on a second. So you think that the former president participated in hate speech? Do you think that other member of Congress has ever participated in hate speech? No follow-up at all whatsoever. Just a typical scripted answer. In fact, new evidence today that said that the Psaki press corps is coming out and trying to pre-script questions. That's right, pre-script questions. Email us your questions, everybody, freedom@charliekirk.com. Hi, Charlie. I don't agree with you about this Putin situation. Why do you believe all those news? The fake news always seems to blame Russia and Putin for everything. They want to think Putin is a dictator. They lie about him and do the same thing they do with Trump. Choose a sentence they don't like and the explanation. Putin and Trump are actually so similar in many things. I think he's a great president, too. Maybe this is why they want to remove him. You're entitled to your opinion. That's fine. However, I will say that Vladimir Putin, from a very objective analysis, happy to walk you through the facts on a different podcast, has engaged in plenty of nefarious activity, own personal enrichment, corruption, and the suppression of freedom of speech and dialogue. While you're probably right that there is some misrepresentation of some things that he's done, I do not put Vladimir Putin or Donald Trump on a moral equivalency. And I would not recommend anyone do that anytime soon, especially when it comes to the crackdown of freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of association, and just the repeated pattern of persecution against Alexei Navalny. Not someone that I would recommend associating with. But I'm open for any sort of difference of opinion. So I would appreciate – thank you for the question. It's very good. If you email me any sort of data or facts that shows that Vladimir Putin is actually Mohammed Gandhi, then I will look at that. It's Mahatma Gandhi. Charlie, what can we do to take back the House, please? And she goes on to ask about the Virginia state elections. Scott Pressler, who's a friend of mine, a good guy. What can we learn from the left? Please learn from him. Look, we need to organize our local communities and change the way we do elections in our country. That's the way that we are going to take back the House and take back the Senate. Let's go to this question here. And by the way, YouTube still has the disclaimer on all of our videos that Joe Biden is the president of the United States. I don't think I've disputed that. Maybe they're just trying to rub it in our face and our channel is just kind of flagged for that sort of continual disclaimer, but not exactly, you know, concerned about that. Okay, let's get to the next one here. University help. Long question. High school senior at Lincoln Way West in New Lenox, Illinois. I know where that is. Okay, this is a great question. Okay. After all that's happened this past year, you can probably imagine that conservative parents like myself are very concerned about sending our daughter to a university. You should be. Her area of study is chemical engineering. That's a good thing. You should go to college for chemical engineering. So going to university is not really an option. Very informed. Okay. I listen to your podcast as well as other places you speak, such as Real Life with Jack Hibbs. You've mentioned several times that you read and respond to emails some are reaching out to. It's true. I do. My husband and I truly value your opinion and hoping you can have some guidance for us. Since you are from this lovely state, I don't know if she meant that sarcastically or not, you can understand our daughter's desire to go out of state and a school. She's narrowed down her choices to Purdue, Florida State, South Florida, University of South Carolina, Clemson, University of Tennessee, University of Alabama. Can you tell me if any of these schools are concerning? If you're unable to give that information, would there be a way you can say certain things, what you'd look for to make this decision or possibly a video and or an article where you address this issue? We don't want to throw our daughter to the wolves. I looked up each school in the professor watch list through Turning Point USA and found that Clemson and Purdue have two professors on the list. What a great informed email. As a side note, we do feel she's a really good foundation, but we've heard too many stories of other people who felt their child had a good foundation as well. Bob and Maria, I won't say your last name for privacy's sake. Thank you. Okay, so let me walk through this. First of all, your daughter is going to college for the right reason. Chemical engineering is a good reason to go to college. If you would have told me that she's still uncertain or that she's trying to study social psychology or, you know, North African lesbian poetry, I'd say let's hold our horses. Maybe not college might not be the best thing. As far as the list of colleges, Purdue, Florida State, South Florida, University of South Carolina, Clemson, University of Tennessee, University of Alabama, there's some liberal instances at all of them I can point out. They're all kind of generally within the same. They're liberal, all of them. Now, Purdue does have Mitch Daniels as president. I have not seen very much meaningful conservative reform come because of that. They are generally more conservative, at least more pro-free speech than not. But here's what I will say to your informed email. Find the place that is most financially realistic for you, the place that has the best engineering school. And just looking at the list, Purdue probably has the best engineering school out of the list. Purdue, Florida State, South Florida, University of South Carolina, Clemson, University of Tennessee, University of Alabama. Purdue is known for their engineering school. And then make sure that your daughter gets involved with Turning Point USA. We do have a Turning Point USA chapter, I believe, at Purdue. Or at least we did in the years past, and we can check that. But I would also just say this. Make sure you prep your daughter to know what she's going to encounter with social justice warrior, BLM incorporated nonsense. But you're already looking at this the right way. Here's why. Chemical engineering, your daughter is going to make a lot of money in her life and going to have a good career no matter what she chooses to do with a chemical engineering degree. We have an engineering deficit in this country. And for parents watching and listening, and you're not really sure, I would encourage you, if your son or daughter does not know why they are going to college, they should take a pause before they go to college. They should save up some money, go to community college, take a gap year, and maybe not go at all. But chemical engineering is something that our country is in need of. She'll earn a great wage, and that's the right reason to go to college. Not for life exploration, but for career preparation. So I hope that's somewhat helpful. I've visited Florida State. It's a little bit liberal, but it's not as bad. South Carolina, I've spoke at University of Alabama. I have to say, out of the list, the most conservative would probably be University of Alabama. But there are more liberals in Tuscaloosa. Jeez, I can't pronounce anything today, than you might think. That's what happens when you do 5 hours of talking every single day. But Maria, I'm going to thank you for that, and I'm going to send your daughter a signed book because hopefully she'll never fall to the liberal side. But you stay involved. You stay on top of the curriculum. You prep her correctly. I know Lincoln Way West High School. I know New Lenox really well. I have family members and friends from there. In fact, my grandmother was right from down the street there. So thank you for watching and listening. I hope this gets to you in some way. In fact, our team will respond to you and say, hey, did you catch the live stream? Because Charlie answered your question. So God bless you. Thank you for that question. Very helpful. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. Great question. Okay, I want to read this, actually. It's going to take me about 2 seconds to pull up. So in the meantime, if you guys want to support us, please go to charliekirk.com/support. Okay, let's go to this right here. Good. Got it. Okay, perfect, because it answers this question. Apologize for the delay. Okay, Steve. Hey, Charlie, what is the latest on the Maricopa election audit? That's why I wanted to pull it up. Jeremy Duda on Twitter, who I do not know who that is. He's a reporter at the Arizona Mirror. I think that's a liberal publication, however. I'm going to cite it. Okay, so Maricopa County forensic audit begins Tuesday. Members of the media are invited to this is today. So today there is a forensic audit happening from February 2nd to February 4th. With the potential to extend to Friday. Auditors expect to work from approximately 9 a.m. to 5 p.m., but the hours may vary depending on the audit work performed every day. The second auditing firm will begin their work on February 8th. This is happening at the Maricopa Elections Department in downtown Phoenix. And the Maricopa County Elections, it says, serves more than 2.5 million registered voters. So there's two independent forensic audits happening. We are staying on top of that. And we'll see what happens. We'll see if it turns up anything or if there's anything that's found or irregularities. The forensic audit is underway here in the state of Arizona, so we are keeping a close eye on that. Okay, let's get to another question here. So let me see one here. Here's one. Hi, Charlie. Is Apple removing your episodes? The episode with Dinesh is gone. No. So when you guys subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show, and I encourage all of you to do that now, here's what ends up happening. If you listen to an episode, it goes off of the episode menu, and it goes into a either previously downloaded or previously listened to portion of the podcast app. It is a perfectly understandable concern, but it's nothing to be too upset about or too worried about. Here's one. Hi, Charlie. I'm a 15-year-old that goes to a public school right outside of Seattle called Mercer Island. My school is now copying Seattle Public School District by having a Black Lives Matter week. They showed us this video, which is basically a bunch of leftist propaganda. Smart 15-year-old. This is from Julia. Feel free to discuss this on your show, the fact that public schools in Washington State are supporting BLM and encouraging their students to do the same. Yes, many of our children in public schools across the country are being indoctrinated and they're being pummeled with critical race theory, highly racist, anti-intellectual, anti-Western nonsense. We've gone through critical race theory at great length about how it's anti-individual, anti-science, anti-Western, about how they do not believe in dialogue, they do not believe in discussion, and how it all tabulated together will turn us into a more racist, intolerant, and divided society. It should be opposed at all costs. And so it's very disappointing when I get emails from 15-year-olds asking me to highlight the indoctrination while the parents in their local area are the ones pushing it. Just drives me absolutely up a wall. Someone says, I'm a new follower and subscriber to the podcast. Can I get a MAGA Doctrine book? Maybe. Sure, you did the directions right. You win because you subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast. Okay, here's a good question while we get that pulled up. This is from Maida. Maida is a good friend of mine. I know Maida. Maida, if you're watching, God bless you. She says, and then we're going to get to the tape of BLM. Okay. Good morning, Charlie. I'm astounded the right is allowing the left to define who we are. Astounded. And the left's efforts to make another Tea Party movement does not spring up. You're exactly right, Maida. I was there with you at the Illinois Tea Party movement. Maida's a good friend. They are taking the R word and applying it to everything. A sort of a let's see what will stick approach. This is working, apparently. So we must define who we are. We must state what we believe. We must not always react. Rather, steer the ship, state the purpose, and let the truth of who we are as conservatives. Last night I had a meeting with some people, and we're going to start a blog that educates everyone about what conservatism is. Good for you. This will not be reactionary and will not be commenting on the insanity of current events, but rather stating who we are and what we believe and why it's important. So this will be the platform, and she puts a name. More on this, praying for you and your excellent team every day. God bless you, Maida. I'm going to make sure our team reaches out to you. You're a great American, and thank you for that. That's what we need. We need local activism, local organizing, new ideas, because there's all this nonsense. So this just got sent to us by a listener. 15-year-old sent us this in. And by the way, for the adults out there, please take this as seriously as the 15-year-olds are. Goodness gracious. Okay, this is a 2.5-minute video. I've not seen it. So you guys are going to keep my mic on as we watch this, please, of what is Black Lives Matter Week. This is a public school outside of Seattle. Play tape.
Black Lives Matter Week is a nationally recognized week of action. Black Lives Matter Week aims to empower students, affirm all Black identities, and teach about Black experiences beyond slavery.
Black Lives Matter Week originated in Seattle, and we plan to continue it here on Mercer Island. 2020 was a big year for Black Lives Matter, with all of the injustice we witnessed due to police brutality and discrimination. Because of that, we feel it is especially important to educate ourselves and others on these issues.
Every class will have a lesson, discussion, reading, or other form of education relating to Black Lives Matter Week. For example, science classes will have a 20 to 60 minute lesson about Black culture and how it relates to science.
Students will be learning about how Black contributions to various subjects throughout history, so that we cannot learn to better appreciate and recognize Black voices in every aspect of our lives.
So the goals of Black Lives Matter Week are to acknowledge the challenges and inequities faced by Black people, educate ourselves on the Black experience, both historically and in the present day, help people empathize with other racial experiences and see the obstacles people face due to their race.
We also think it's going to be a great opportunity for students to come away with interest towards the inherent connections between Black culture, history, and perspectives with their curriculum. And we hope that teachers leave it to learning how to incorporate diverse perspectives into their lessons regularly, as well as how to address topics that they may deem sensitive.
These lessons not only benefit Black students, but can also be transformative for non-Black students, particularly white students. Due in large part to school and residential segregation, white students often get a narrow view of Blackness from their lived experiences.
We are having this week to remember and recognize how our country is still very unequal and that people are still receiving horrible treatment because of their race, to learn about how we can help make the world a more equal place, and how we can teach others so that they can do the same. To also recognize different people's cultures and celebrate all of our differences.
Okay, so I want to make one thing clear. This is a public YouTube video. These are kids, okay? These are children that are being told to read a script. I am not going to – none of my criticism, what they said, is towards them, okay? They're being used – as puppets of the BLM Incorporated movement. I mean this sincerely. My heart goes out to these kids because they're being so misled. And I don't want any reaction to this video at all whatsoever to be reflected towards any of the kids in that video at all. This is about the teachers that are the ones that are putting this in front of them. Okay, I just want to make that very, very clear. Okay, because that could get misinterpreted. Okay, but what these teachers and what these parents at Mercer Island, which by the way is like the Beverly Hills of Seattle. If you don't know Mercer Island, it is rich upper middle class liberals. What they are teaching their children is evil. What they just taught their kid, the script that they were reading, was that people are still being treated terribly because of their race. Can an adult who wrote that please come on our program and tell me one instance of where anyone is treated differently because of their race in this country? Because of a public policy, a law, or a position? Doesn't exist. We've been through this chapter and verse. It is not because of skin color. There are other choices that play into it. A great example is this. A child who is raised by a Black mother and father is more likely to succeed through every single objective metric than a child who is raised by a single white mother. A stable family partnership is what they should be focusing on. And for all of you that just watched that video, that should horrify you for the country that is rising up. It's in our education system. That's where our tax dollars are being spent. And because teachers did not get – I mean, because parents did not get involved in school board sessions, because we were asleep at the wheel for the last couple decades, this stuff ended up happening. A lot of the old money from Seattle is there. And so it's just fitting I mean, it's literally an island. I don't know if you know Mercer Island. It's not just the name. It's literally an island that is very secluded. And these sort of ideas tend to spread for whatever reason. I'm not exactly sure. But I encourage everyone that's watching this to take this very seriously. And I'm not going to play the video again. I feel very bad for these kids. I feel bad having to, you know, have any form of the criticism be near them. They're 15 and 16 year olds. They don't know any better. And they're being taught this. What the real criticism needs to be directed at is at the teachers and the parents that tolerated this nonsense. And I hope that that video right there, for no other reason, is instructive for all the parents and taxpayers watching what these kids are being taught and what they're internalizing. Here's a nice note. Good morning from Austin, Texas. Charlie, I wanted to thank you for your commitment to our great nation. Thank you. I've been listening to you a lot more since November the 3rd. We're all experiencing unprecedented times. I love your positive attitude. Thank you. Have a nice day and keep it positive. You're welcome. God bless you. Thank you for the nice note. Hi, Charlie. Do you have any recommendations for churches, groups, or individuals that could use some financial assistance? Thank you. Yes. Calvary Chapel, San Jose. I don't think that's their exact name. It's, let me get it. They have a, it's like Calvary Chapel, San Jose, Mike McClure. Yeah, okay. It's calvarysj.org. I'm a Christian. I'm an evangelical Christian. It's one of the most important things in my life. You know what saddens me and frustrates me? That most Christians do not know about the struggle, the fight that Pastor Mike McClure is engaged in right now in San Jose. Pastor Mike McClure is a friend of mine. I've spoke at his church. He has a church in downtown San Jose where he teaches the gospel chapter by chapter, verse by verse. He has refused to close with all these Chinese coronavirus lockdowns and measures, staying open for Easter, staying open for Pentecost, not forsaking the gathering and the assembly of believers. He is now facing $1.7 million in fines from the local government. Most churches across the country are silent. In fact, all the churches in his local area are not supporting him. Why there is not a rallying cry behind Pastor Mike McClure is a disgrace to American Christianity to me. I'm not used to this. I'm used to a conservative movement where we hang with each other, where we stand by each other is what I should say. When someone gets attacked or criticized, we rally to their defense. Pastor Mike McClure has had some good pastors support him. It's calvarysj.org. They are sending the entire government after him. And most Christians are silent and complicit. And for the pastors out there that have not spoke in support of Pastor Mike McClure, you should resign. You guys know what's happening, and you choose to be silent, and you choose to be closed. You're cowards, all of you. And for the pastors that have stood by you, like Jack Hibbs and James Cadiz and Rob McCoy and Jurgen Matusius and David Engelhart and all the friends we've had on this podcast, God bless you. And so, yes, that is a church that I would support. CalvarySJ.org. Mike McClure is a phenomenal guy, and he is refusing to close, everybody. He is refusing to close despite millions of dollars of fines being thrown at him. That is a hero. Not these mega churches that have remained closed indefinitely, that have run to the hills and have decided not to fight. And so, God bless you, Mike McClure. We have your back. We're going to be covering this story nonstop. And for the tyrants and for the despots of San Jose, we are not going to let off this story until you forgive and release and eliminate the entire $1.7 million fine to Mike McClure. They're trying to come after him personally. They're trying to come after his building. They're doing everything they possibly can just because he has opened his church. By the way, BLM Incorporated, they can march right through San Jose, right through San Francisco, right through Oakland. They're trying to make an example of this godly man. God bless Mike McClure. And the fact that not every church in the country is fasting and praying and financially supporting Mike McClure goes to show how fragile and weak American Christianity has become. There's plenty of pastors that have stood up, but 99% are either not aware, not interested, or too cowardly to do something about it. God bless you, Mike. We have your back. Okay, let's go to the next question here. The young people of tomorrow. Hi, Charlie. I just watched the kids on the BLM video. How do we win back our young people? Love you and your entire crew. Well, that's what we're doing here at Turning Point USA every single day at tpusa.com/get involved. And look, we have to get involved in school board races. And the most important thing is this, though. Take the education of your children very seriously. Teach them about the founders. Teach them about the philosophy that built our country. Get them excited about American presidents. Get them defensive of America. See, growing up, my parents were always not political, but they were patriotic. Big difference. They said no one should ever get away with insulting our great country. We have a beautiful history. You're lucky you live here. Understand it, appreciate it, and defend it. And the politics will come after that. But the most important thing is a defense of the American experiment, a defense of our journey in this constitutional republic. And for any young person out there, I highly encourage you to get involved with Turning Point USA at tpusa.com/get involved. Okay, next question here. Actually, I want to thank Eileen from Kansas for supporting us. I want to thank Carlos from Anaheim for supporting us and Richard from Coral Springs, Florida for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. And Abraham from Peoria. He said this, quote, Mr. Kirk, thank you for the information you provide for us. Thank you. I want to encourage you to consider running for office. Please consider that AOC is a rep. She has an influence that you and others can put to rest. If you become a representative, you would have more knowledge and you could still have a platform. AOC was cooking the other day online. Come on, Mr. Kirk, please consider. You have the support. Okay, he goes on. Look, I appreciate that, but I'm not running for office anytime soon. I love what we do here on our program. I love what we do here on our podcast. I love what we do at Turning Point USA. I truly do. But God bless you. I appreciate that. And I don't think that going to just another Madison Cawthorn and people like that can go do that for me. I'm meant to be here. Okay, next question. Hello, Charlie. I've been a subscriber since before the fraudulent election. Those are his words. Me and my wife received this letter in the mail. They're in Alabama. Do you know if other states are doing this? From Alabama. This notification is being sent to all Alabama voters to comply with the National Voter Registration Act passed by Congress. The name and address on the back is a card that reflects your voter information. I don't know if this is a legitimate letter. That seems very suspicious. I'm going to look into that. Thank you for your question, Dusty. I'm going to look into that. Thank you. That does not look legit, but I'd be very surprised by that, as I don't think there's a National Voter Registration Act that has been passed. Okay. Here's one. Hey, Charlie, love the show. I'm 47. My parents are lifelong Democrat evangelicals. I grew up in a Christian home, and I'm closest to a libertarian conservative, you could say, but I'm always open to a different way of thinking. My parents refer to Trump supporters as the cult, but I can't think of anyone more cultish than voting straight ticket while staunchly defending anything your party does, which is what they do. How would you suggest I combat that? I'd love to get a copy of the MAGA doctrine if I have to even pay for a signed copy. Keep up the great work and tell Isabel I'm a long-term Avalanche fan and wonder if she liked hockey. Okay, well, he's from Dayton, Ohio, and I will send you a copy of the book. But look, yes, so there's a lot there, Jared, but I wouldn't start getting into a cult conversation or what's a cult, what's not a cult. Obviously, it's not a cult. I will say this, though. If they are Bible-believing Christians, I would encourage them to look at the sermons of Rob McCoy, Jack Hibbs, the teachings of David Barton. The Democrat agenda is completely inconsistent with the teachings of the Bible and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Socialism violates 2 out of the 10 commandments. Just the abortion issue is a non-starter. The Democrat policy on immigration is open borders, which is anti-biblical. The Democrat policy on private property is against private property, where the Bible came up with the idea of private property as we know it in the West. Free speech, dialogue, all of that stuff comes from the teachings of the Bible. And maybe they say, well, we're Democrat evangelicals because we want to help the poor. Well, if you want to help the poor, the best way to help the poor is to empower them to help themselves. That is to push back against public sector teacher unions. That is to push back against the welfare state. And that is to say, we want people to get off of food stamps, not on the food stamps. I'm guessing that's where a lot of their criticism is. We've done a lot of podcasts on that, but I would encourage you to check that out. Okay. Here is from Sydney from Iowa. When we continuously emphasize on black being victims and Caucasian being the victimizer or the oppressor, it does create a racism issue. This constant focus on color born during the Obama administration has and will continue to create more division. Teaching this to children and pushing this white privilege nonsense is terribly harmful. Thank you for being a spokesperson for common sense. Thank you. You're exactly right. Look, when you divide people based on their immutable characteristics, when you divide people based on the content of their skin color, not their character, you're going to create a generation of racists. The left is creating a generation of racists. That's what they're doing. They want people to judge based on skin color. And this nonsense that blacks are being oppressed in our country is a pile of garbage. There's no data to support that. There is no evidence to support that. They're doing that to divide our country bitterly based on racial lines. Next question. Let's go here. Hi, Charlie. I was listening to your Populism Explained episode on the protection efforts at the Capitol and have put this thesis to forth. I don't believe it was to show the American people the government can protect us. My thesis is this is a clear, orchestrated, and deliberate attack on our republic by the Democrat Party through the denial of voter integrity so that the government is not of and by the people, through the use of the judicial to vote in laws nor by the people, and lastly, through the practical suspension of the First Amendment so that we the people can't petition the government for our grievances with the barrier that now blocks us from the lawmakers. That might be true, but she says if we don't challenge them on these fronts, the republic is surely lost. I agree. The most important fight right now is how we do elections and voter integrity, and I mean metaphorical fight, not literal fight. I'm going to continue to take your questions here. freedom@charliekirk.com. I want to thank Ryan for supporting us from Iowa at charliekirk.com/support. Here's a good question. Hi, Charlie. Love your show and everything you stand for. Can you please give me some book recommendations that I can use to teach my daughter? Thank you, Morgan Reese Fleming. Well, we talked about this on our podcast, but if you are interested in getting quick bites of books to digest information, one of our sponsors, I'm going to give them a free shout out here, is thinker.org, thinkr.org. If you go there, go to thinker.org/Charlie. You get big books, long books that you can summarize in short bites. But yeah, I'll give you a couple books right now. The Book That Built Your World by Vishal Mangalwaldi. I would highly recommend Ben Shapiro's Right Side of History is pretty good, I have to say. Jonah Goldberg's, even though Jonah is he doesn't like me, but I recommend his book. It's really good. Liberal Fascism. But the best out of all of them from a Christian point of view is The Book That Built Your World. If you want to get people to believe that Jesus Christ is the savior of the world and that the resurrection was real, Lee Strobel's Case for Christ is phenomenal. So I'd recommend those books. There's a couple other books that I think that are if you're willing to kind of go into this direction and into a direction that's more kind of economics in nature, Free to Choose by Milton and Rose Friedman is very, very good. I'm a market guy. I don't think that it's all necessarily applicable, but it's really good. But if any of you are looking for a book about race and you say, how do I debate BLM Incorporated? How do I fight back against all this SJW nonsense? Thomas Sowell, Discrimination and Disparities. It's terrific. Check it out. Okay, let's get to some more questions here. freedom@charliekirk.com. Hi, Charlie. I'm going to call my library and ask them to get your book. I think your book should be in every library. Please encourage your listeners to have their library get your book. Thank you, Denise. That's so kind of you. I mean that. Thank you. God bless you. Okay. Some more questions here. But I do want to thank Valerie for supporting us from California at charliekirk.com/support. Millie, I'm a Trump supporter. My entire family attacks me for supporting Trump. I never make it my business to attack them. What's the best way to handle them? Thank you, Carmella. Ask questions. Don't get angry. Don't get upset. Attacks are going to happen when you stand for truth. Just ask questions. Say, did he do anything right? Did you like his Middle East peace deal? Do you think it's interesting that he oversaw the greatest economy in American history? Things like that are very, very helpful. And that sort of response through asking informed questions, I think, is the best way to handle that. Let me go to another question here. freedom@charliekirk.com. This one is from a couple days ago. Okay. Hi, Charlie. I recently had the opportunity to hear you at my church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills. One of the things you talked about was not being apathetic, and you encouraged believers to focus on checking the boxes. I'm committed to working on checking those three boxes daily. Good for you, Nicole. God bless you. How do I volunteer with Turning Point USA? I will put you in touch with somebody. And is Turning Point USA hiring? Yes. And so you can go to tpusa.com if you want to start a chapter. Get engaged, get involved. tpusa.com. I highly encourage you to check it out. I just sent your information to our team at Turning Point USA. Every single young person in the country should be starting Turning Point USA chapters right now, every single day at tpusa.com. Most specifically, tpusa.com/get involved. Here's a question. Hello, Charlie. I'm a 15-year-old boy from Slovakia, Europe. I'm a huge fan of the United States, especially states like Texas. Me too. I love the Second Amendment. And I'm also a huge fan of American muscle cars and their huge V8 engines. I decided to support President Trump after I heard that Joe Biden wants to ban gas-powered cars after 2035. After the election, I started to understand what is this ultimately about and how evil the Democrats are. I watched your show after January the 6th, and I began watching ever since. I really like your show. My question is, why is Isabel no longer doing the shows with you? She will be. We have a rotation, and I will tell her that Peter from Slovakia wants her back. But God bless you, Peter. We love you, man. We appreciate you watching. Okay. Hi, Charlie. I joined your live stream when you were talking about borders and private property being biblical. Wanted to ask if you have any specific references or verses from the Bible discussing this. I have a few friends who believe it is not biblical to have borders, and it's a hard time for me to explain why it is. Thanks for all you do. Great question. Here's my best answer. The entire book of Nehemiah. The entire book of Nehemiah is about literally rebuilding the walls of Israel. But Juliana, I'm going to reference even more specific scripture. There is the entire idea of a sovereign nation came from the Bible. What is Israel? A place that is not the entire world, but is specific. It has certain borders and barriers. But thank you, Juliana. I'm going to forward this to our pastoral team that we have to get the exact references. But the book of Nehemiah is really, really hard to push back against. It's literally about building the walls. Okay. Hi, Charlie. I'm 15 years old from Columbus Junction, Iowa. I go to a small church which never shut its doors. Awesome. I'm reaching Sunday school to people that are five times my age this week. Do you have any words and advice? And I'm reaching Sunday school to people. I'm guessing you're asking how to reach out to them. Look, when you're the youngest person in the room, don't do the most amount of talking. Do a lot of listening and ask a lot of questions. You'll learn a lot. In fact, I think she's trying to say teaching. Oh, she's teaching Sunday school. I'm sorry. It said reaching Sunday school. Good catch, Connor. That's why we pay Connor the big bucks. Connor's a machine. We have a new studio set up, so I can't see anything. I'm flying blind here. But yes, so if you're teaching, teach straight from the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter. And also be unafraid, since you're a 15-year-old teaching, to go find other sermons that other people have taught and make sure you're interpreting the text correctly. Don't try to make up something. And by the way, you don't have to say that you found anything new. That's okay. The Word of God speaks itself. The more you read the Bible, the more it reads you. It's the only book. The more you read it, the more it reads you. And James 1:5, pray for wisdom. The more you pray for wisdom, God will give it generously. Okay, here's a question right here. Good afternoon, Charlie. Love watching your program. I'd like to get your thoughts on something. There are many companies donating to or supporting organizations I don't agree with. Is it wise to boycott these companies, or would it be just too inconvenient for me? There are many companies that support far left-wing ideologies and agendas. Don't know how to handle this from a moral perspective. Thank you for your time. Hudson, yes, you should not support businesses when you can that are against your opinion. I know I'm going to get 500 emails. Charlie, I've seen you with Starbucks cups. You're right. Every so often, we break our own rules and we go to Starbucks, but we shouldn't. I admit that we shouldn't. But we do go to In-N-Out, which is owned by Christians. But yes, wherever possible, you should try to vote your values and shop your values wherever possible. Hudson, great question. I want to encourage everyone watching right now, please go to your Apple Podcasts or Spotify, type in Charlie Kirk Show, hit subscribe. Let's go right here to, hi, Charlie, I'm a junior in high school. Every Sunday, BLM kids in my community gather and protest. They're all white, upper middle class kids and extremely obnoxious. They have ridiculous signs that say things like, God is trans, black, queer. Obviously, people have freedom of speech and freedom of protest, and I respect that. But how do I respectfully and directly fight back against these ideologues? Thanks. I don't know if this is a troll question or not, because this came from Potato Dan. So I don't know if this is a question or not that's a troll. But that is such an outrageous thing. Some things are not worthy of confrontation. Some things are just worthy of laughing and moving on. That is not one of the things that I would focus too much on. From Seth, hi, Charlie, love your show. Have you ever done a study on white slavery? The subject has been suppressed for far too long. If we have racism shoved down our throat, I feel it's only fair to set things right and fight back against the left's race agenda. No, I have not done that. But if there's any evidence to show that, I'm not exactly sure what the question is. But it sounds like it's a third rail topic, and I'm not willing to engage on a third rail topic without evidence. I'm happy to go on a third rail topic when I know the topic, but I'm not exactly sure what you're asking. Therefore, I will not answer it unless I am informed and I've done hours and hours and hours of research on it. Hi, Charlie. I live in Wyoming and the California liberal city of Jackson Hole. I know Jackson Hole very well. It's in Teton County. Beautiful place. Awful governance. Just announced it will be fining people for not wearing masks. Is there anything residents can do to fight this? It might be illegal and unconstitutional, so maybe filing a lawsuit might be the best thing for you, but that's expensive and you have to open yourself up to discovery and all this nonsense. But look, I'm mask agnostic. If you think they work, wear a mask. However, I am completely against mask mandates, forcing people to wear a mask at gunpoint or at forcing them via taxation. I'm completely and totally against. I believe it's immoral and it should be unconstitutional. Everybody, please continue to email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. Get involved with Turning Point USA. And a lot of you are saying, hey, how do I get this hat? Shop tpusa.com. And thank you for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. It gives us the ability to keep doing what we're doing. Potato Dan says he's not a troll. Love the show. Well, thank you, Potato Dan. I appreciate that. Thank you guys so much. God bless you. Speak to you soon. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Get involved with Turning Point USA right now at tpusa.com. Email us your questions, freedom@charliekirk.com. And if you'd like to support us, go to charliekirk.com/support. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.